This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Secret of the Dark Forest by Vasily Mahanyenko, translated by Natalia Nikitin, narrated by Jonathan Yen. Chapter 1. The Emperor.
Man, is there more interesting stuff on the way? Or can we start getting some answers out of you?
Anastaria's simple question sounded like a crack of thunder in the surrounding world, snapping everyone out of it. The world exploded. After seeing a dragon with their own eyes, hearing the announcement that they could play on the side of Kartus, and, in general, after a long and hard battle, the players tried to get everything off their chests all at once. The area was shaken by various exclamations like, "Whoa! A dragon?"
"They said they didn't exist, but this small fry knows them."
"Who the heck is that?"
There was such a din that I couldn't hear myself think, let alone try to answer Anastaria. Because of the noise, few heard the quiet clap of the opening of the portal. A little way off, a new herald had appeared in Barleona. The Emperor ascended the throne, and his envoys appeared at the very same moment. With advisors, it was more complicated, since they had to come with a background. But I had a feeling that this matter would be resolved in the course of the day. It's not as if the developers would have launched all of this without the necessary preparations. As I glanced around the raging crowd of players, the herald came up to Tisha, who was gazing into the distance, eyes wide. The girl was still in a state of shock and unable to come to terms with seeing two of her closest relatives become heads of empires.
"Princess," the herald bowed, "please follow me. The Emperor is waiting for you and your young man," the envoy bowed to Slate, "at the palace."
"Me? Us?"
The intellect imitator inside Tisha did a stellar job in playing a girl who was still in a state of shock and struggling to understand what was going on. Her vacant gaze wandering over the players, her grip on Slate's hand, as if it was the only thing keeping the headman's daughter in this world. Such an exquisite piece of programming really should have been seen in a theater instead of wasting away at the edge of the world.
"That is correct, Princess." The herald once again bowed his head.
"But I can't come alone. My brothers, they are still in Beatwick, tied up and..."
"Unfortunately," the herald's cheerful expression faded and his tone became more subdued,
"we cannot take them with us. They are being sent to Kartus, where they will continue to serve the Dark Lord. Please, Princess, the Emperor is expecting you."
"What will happen to Beth and to Mayen? Will they come with me?"
Tisha had to make sure. "I can't say much about Beth, but the fact that the princess has remembered me is a good sign. As soon as I get away from this madhouse, there may be a chance of getting a nice bonus from this member of the imperial family. I wouldn't say no to some extra gold." Instead of responding, the herald pointed to Elizabeth, who clung to her newly regained husband and children. While Mariana hid her face in her father's embrace, Clouder tried to slip out of his mother's strong grip and get a better look at everything. Totally irrepressible, that boy. Another portal appeared next to Beth, out of which stepped a different herald.
"High Priestess, you are expected in Anhurs. I'm sorry, but the matter cannot wait."
"Yes, of course. My husband and children..."
"They shall come with you. Please, come this way." The herald pointed to the portal.
"Mayen?"
Beth turned to me.
"When you come to Anhurs, please make sure to come and visit me."
"Thank you, High Priestess. I will definitely drop by."
I bowed my head, noting Anastaria's narrowing eyes. Aha! She had no idea that the High Priestess of Iluna in Malabar had been replaced.
Beth, smiled the priestess. Just call me Beth. I await you in Anhurs.
With these words, the woman disappeared into the portal, pulling Marianna and Clouder after her. Theodore, Beth's husband, glanced at the portal and at the herald, and then came over to me.
I usually pay my own debts, regardless of any position that my wife may hold, he said in a low bass, and handed me a scroll. 2 years of imprisonment have inspired me to write this work. Read it. Perhaps you may find it useful.
Item acquired. A treatise on imprisonment and ways of staying yourself. Number of pages, 240. Upon reading and providing correct answers, 70%, to the questionnaire on this treatise, plus 20 intellect, plus 3 agility, plus 3 stamina, plus 3 strength. Duration, unlimited.
Theodore shook my hand and entered the portal. Only at that moment did I realize that we were surrounded by a strange silence. It felt like deja vu. Had Renox dropped in on us again? I looked around and saw that the players had split into two groups. The first, the larger one, made up of about 90% of the players that escaped from Beatwick, withdrew a little way off and started to summon their pets for returning to the more populous regions. These players tried not to make too much noise and disturb the second group. The latter consisted of the leaders of all the clans, their deputies and shadow leaders, such as Evelet. They were now observing the conversations of the NPCs with some interest. Anastaria, who stood next to me, was even making a video of the whole thing, a movie camera icon flashing above her head.
Princess, the First Herald once again reminded us of his presence. It's time. The High Priestess is already in Anhurs, and as for Mayen, the Emperor will speak to him in person, right after you. He will be taken to the palace a little later.
All right.
Tisha brightened up and turned towards the blacksmith.
Let's go, darling. Father won't dare to keep us apart.
When the couple disappeared into the portal, other portals began to open, one after another. Heralds stepped out of each one, walked up to the rescued Beatwick villagers, and took them to the mainland. I don't know how it was for other players, but for each rescued villager I received a 10-point reputation increase with the Malabar Emperor. 135 Beatwick residents turned into 1,350 reputation points. After a few minutes, only players remained by the destroyed Cartus Castle.
I see that you've found yourself in possession of an interesting scroll.
Just as I thought, Evelet was the first to speak. Anastaria may be a strong-willed girl, but she wouldn't barge in with her uncle present, assuming he really was her uncle. The chain of command had to be respected. Eckler wasn't present among the fighters, so Evelet clearly intended to take the situation in hand.
I have a rough idea of what that is, so I won't ask you to show me its properties. Read through it carefully before you try answering the questions. It may not be clear from the description, but you'll have only 2 attempts to complete the questionnaire. And now we have to move on to less pleasant things. You probably realize that you've put all the high-level players at a very big disadvantage today. Just think. Some upstart, excuse my bluntness, took it upon himself to do what even Anastaria could not, direct an inter-clan raid, And we're talking about an upstart who is completely unknown, without any kith or kin or any real levels. Can you imagine the storm this will kick up on the forums? The clan's ratings will take a big tumble, and you'll be the only one to blame. This is the tricky situation I would like to discuss with you. Stop handling this moron with kid gloves. Stick him on the blacklist and rub him out every chance you get, interrupted Plinto. Plinto, I will settle this matter myself.
Evelet's voice was frosty, putting the sham clan leader back in his place.
Quit shutting me down all the time. Don't do that. Don't say this. I've really had it with you. This jackass has decided that he's better than our clan. Sitting on his high horse and showing off how the clans mean nothing to him. Those cursed chess pieces are his handiwork. Plinto.
Evelet didn't shout, but his voice was sharp enough to send one for respawn.
I've been putting up with your shenanigans for what seems like ages, but enough is enough. You will stop bringing our clan into disrepute as of now. You and your clan and your decisions can go to hell, Plinto fired back. You can take it all and stick it where the sun don't shine. You've got me really shaking in my boots. And as for you, you little shit, he said, turning to me, we'll catch up in person later. You'll regret making that pawn for a long, long time. Our meetings will be frequent, and we'll all end the same way. Like this.
Suddenly Plinto dashed towards me, unleashing throwing knives that left a trail of green poison behind them. I only had enough time for a brief chuckle. Plus 350 level mobs were unable to bring me down, but this one unbalanced individual was apparently going to finish the job.
"Chill it, handsome,"
came Anastaria's voice, and a dome surrounded me. A bubble.
"Phoenix, attack!"
Phoenix's entire raid group reacted immediately. Plinto didn't even have time to get near me before he was slowed, had petrification cast on him, and was sent for respawn a few seconds later. In other words, he was disposed of quickly and professionally. Something else was bugging me now. Earlier, the system, on behalf of the Emperor, informed the players of the ban on PvP fighting. Had the Emperor's previous order been revoked? Strange, I had no memory of any announcements of that sort.
"Legion!" there came a shout. "Phoenix has broken the truce! Waste them!"
"Phoenix, circle formation!"
Anastaria's reaction was instantaneous.
"Vlad, Paul, make a portal and bring all our fighters here."
"Silence!"
I never thought that Evelet was capable of shouting so loudly. The two groups that were about to dive into battle froze, looking at each other in surprise. The other clans got out of the way and were also murmuring in indignation. Hardly surprising, since they had just been deprived of one heck of a spectacle.
"The Dark Legion clan has no claims against the Phoenix clan, and thanks them for subduing Plinto," said Evelet, quickly diffusing the situation. "There will be no battle now. I will personally throw anyone that attacks any Phoenix player out of the clan, even if they do it in self-defense. Is that clear?"
Evelet confirmed my hunch that the PvP mode was still forbidden. Its shutdown wasn't system-wide, but localized, so both Plinto and a number of Phoenix members were about to be docked some reputation points. Silence descended on the ruins of the castle. The Legion players stared at their leader in incomprehension, and the players of other clans started to whisper amongst themselves, wondering who the heck this was, and why was he suddenly commanding the Dark Legion clan.
"Damn it,"
came a grumble from Anastaria, as she read the message that appeared in front of her.
"Our reputation with the Emperor has gone down."
"Has everyone calmed down? Then let's get back to business."
Evelyn looked over the bewildered players and turned to me.
"As I already said, damage has been done to the reputation of all the clans, so I'll make an official statement. I call upon a herald and request your assistance."
A herald immediately appeared next to Evelyn. "You called me, Evelyn. If your summons lacked a good reason, you shall be punished."
"According to the decision of the Clan Assembly, I am now the leader of the Dark Legion Clan. I ask you to bear witness to this fact,"
Evelyn said, handing the herald a sheet of paper.
"Plinto is being excluded from the clan. We are no longer responsible for his actions."
"Accepted." The air was filled with the ringing voice of the herald. "Henceforth, Evelyn is the head of the Dark Legion clan." "Is that all?"
"No. On behalf of the Dark Legion clan, I declare Shaman Mayen persona non grata. He is now officially added to the blacklist, and all clan members will be informed of the fact. Starting tomorrow, any clan member that has had a chance to attack him but failed to do so will be automatically excluded. Herald, I ask you to verify that this directive is being adhered to."
"Do you agree to the conditions for adding Mayen, who has positive reputation with the Malabar Empire, the Malabar Emperor, Goddess Iluna, Priestesses of Goddess Iluna, Prike Mine Guards, and the Krong Province, to the blacklist?" The herald's voice now had an icy edge to it. "His reputation with other factions will not be taken into account." Anastaria, Undigit, and other clan leaders were looking from me to Evelyn and back again in surprise. In Evelyn's case, it was on account of his words, but I didn't get the meaning of the surprised look shot in my direction. Nor did I get why the herald listed all the Malabar factions that I had encountered when playing as a shaman, and why he had left others out, such as the Shaman Council and the Dark Lord of Kartus.
"Yes, this is the decision of the Clan Assembly."
Evelyn handed the herald another paper. The new clan leader didn't simply look pleased, but rather had turned into one big smile, as had the number twos standing nearby.
"Now we just have to write a name here, and that name is Mayen. The Dark Legion clan is putting him on the official blacklist."
"So be it." The herald took the paper from Evelyn, after which a gong sounded some way off. "Is that all?"
"Yes. Thank you, herald."
Judging by Evelyn's expression, what had just taken place was something that he'd waited a very long time for. I seriously didn't get it, but clearly something unusual had just gone down. Some of the players were still wearing expressions that read, "No way did this just happen." "Thank you." I decided to clear the atmosphere, which was beginning to grow a little too charged. "Not everyone has the privilege of being put on the official blacklist of the second clan in the Empire." I'm not sure if it was something I said, but the surrounding world exploded for the second time in the past hour. Many of the players were speaking to each other or shouting things, while others stood there with glassy eyes, probably typing up forum messages after hopping back into reality. A minute later, the buzz had somewhat died down, and Evelyn smiled once again.
"It seems that you are not too familiar with what being put on the official blacklist actually means, so allow me to enlighten you. Each clan has two blacklists, a general one and an official one. The general one contains players who've been making trouble for the clan. For example, Anastaria, Hellfire, and so on. When a player from our clan runs across a player from the general list, they get a message that there is an enemy nearby and they should take heed. It's quite easy to end up on the main list, since any player with the relevant level of authorization can add you. But then there is the second list, the official one, where, for each player, the clan pays a tax to the Empire and sacrifices its reputation. For example, you will be costing us 5,000 gold a day, as well as daily reputation reduction, with all the factions listed by the Herald. The reputation of each clan member that signed under the list will fall. On the first day, it will fall by 1 point, on the second by 2, the third by 4, the fourth by 8, and so on. All this irrespective of whether the player on the blacklist is inside the game or has logged out. The timer is ticking in any case. Thus, in just 3 weeks' time, any reputation, whatever its initial level, will tumble down to hatred. This will be true for all those who signed under it. Putting a player on the official list requires at least 500 signatures, and the paper that I just handed the Herald contains just over 4,000. Now we come to the main point of putting someone on this blacklist. As soon as someone from the clan runs across the player on this official list, they must do all they can to send that player for respawn. They would not be penalized with a PK mark, and would be able to do this even inside a town. Members of other clans or unaffiliated players will receive a message that the Dark Legion clan will pay them 5,000 gold for killing you. The Heralds are responsible for ensuring that clan members comply with the compulsory attack policy. They will also count the number of times you're killed by other players. Even the safe zones are ineffective against the official list. This blacklist is very popular with those who wish to punish some particular person. It is expensive, of course, but sometimes it's worth it. There are around 40,000 players in my clan, with an average level of 137. You have a day to run and hide. In the following 2 weeks, our people will be looking for you very thoroughly. As soon as the reputation of each person that signed under the list gets reduced to hatred, you will be removed from the blacklist automatically, if I do not do so earlier. But that's never going to happen. Evelyn looked like the cat that got the cream. That's all from me.
Evelyn, what are you up to?
Came Anastaria's subdued whisper. So, that's that. She was no longer interested in Mayan the dragon. She had to get to the bottom of whatever plot the leader of number twos had concocted.
You'll find out soon enough, my dear.
Evelyn gave another radiant smile.
"Man, you're really quite a find. You've gained positive reputation with so few Malabar factions, and all of them exactly the ones I was after."
"Man, the Emperor wishes to speak with you."
With all this talk, I hadn't even noticed that a herald had appeared next to me.
"Yes, of course,"
I mumbled. But before I could step into the portal, I was stopped by a gentle touch from Mirida. Everyone seemed to have completely forgotten about her.
"Wait."
Mirida bit her lip, as if trying to come to a hard but necessary decision. She finally breathed out, leant over to me, and quickly blurted out,
"I want to tell you why I came to Beatwick. It doesn't matter what you'll think of me, but you ought to know the truth. My name is Marina."
"Yes,
that very same,"
she said when she saw my reaction.
"I'm marking a spot on the map. Let's meet up when there's a chance. Please come. There is a lot I must tell you."
A message flashed before my eyes. A location somewhere near Anhur's had been marked on my map.
"If you don't turn up, I'll understand. But give me a chance to explain. Please."
Marina let go of my hand and stepped aside. It was just as well that I was already pumped full of emotions by this point, so I took the news that I was looking at the cause of my 8-year prison sentence calmly enough.
"A day, man. You have a day," repeated Evelyn. "Then the hunt will begin."
It came out rather overplayed and over the top, like a villain in an old film giving his final speech. I don't know why, but it made me smile. Bearing in mind that all of this was being recorded on video and would be uploaded for public viewing, I knew the Dark Legion clan would be looking forward to some dark times. A bit of a tautology there, putting a low-level player on an official blacklist just for successfully directing an inter-clan raid looked stupid and cast the clan in an extremely unfavorable light. But Evelyn didn't look like a stupid man, and he had probably thought this through in advance.
"Please wait here."
As soon as I stepped out of the portal, the herald gave me a few minutes to look around and enjoy the view of the palace after its rearrangement by Garenika. Even in this sorry state, the Malabar Emperor's residence was magnificent. The stones, the dust, the pockmarked walls and broken statues scattered around the territory. All this destruction only underlined the excellence of the spectacle. You got the feeling that it took several teams of designers to achieve the proper ruined palace look.
"I even somewhat regret that I didn't see all this splendor in its better days,"
came the words of the former Beatwick headman, the ex-master of the Empire of Cardus, and the current Emperor of Malabar, as he walked up to me.
"You have to give it to the previous Emperor. He had taste. Come, it's time to reward our hero."
I don't know what it was, the destroyed palace or the moon being in Aquarius, but as I walked behind the Emperor, I totally failed to experience any excitement over the anticipated bonuses. I had a feeling that my inner zoo was completely disheartened and succumbed to apathy. The hoarding hamster was an especially sorry sight. Under normal circumstances, he should have been flying after the Emperor, trying to get his paws on all possible bonuses and stuffing them in his pockets. Far from it. He was sitting and gazing sadly at the downcast greed toad, barely holding back his tears. I opened my quest log and scanned through its contents to stave off the infectious melancholy.
Night Terror of the Village. Rare. Completed. Reward, +400 reputation with the Krong Province, +500 experience, +80 silver coins, a rare item from Headman's stores. Search for the Dark Coordinator. Unique. Completed. Reward, +4,000 reputation with the Malabar Empire, +4,000 experience, +10,000 gold coins, a scaling item from the Emperor's stores. The Last Hope, Step 3, Rare. Time until the wolves respawn, 2 months, 21 days. The Eye of the Dark Widow. The quest will become available at level 100, Legendary. The Way of the Shaman, Step 3. Completion of the trial to become a great shaman, class-based. Restoration of Justice, class-based, unique. I was about to remove the wolf quest, but something within me objected. You don't just ditch quest chains. It's not like I have to feed it, or as if there's a limit on the number of quests. At the same time, it would be very interesting to see what crazy things the developers cooked up with this quest chain. Pulling out those arrows was something else. Just remembering it made me shudder. In all likelihood, it comes with a pleasant reward at the end, even if it's a low-level one. A happy squeak of the hamster, who caught a whiff of a bonus, was barely audible. My brain gears seemed totally out of whack. Restoration of Justice is a good quest, but to complete it, I would have to hike all the way to Sarist Province, where my reputation is at Hatred, thanks to its governor. I wondered if my reputation with the governor could be higher than with that of the province itself. Would they kick me out straight away, or would I actually have a chance to speak to Pronto? I guess I'll find out when I get there. It will still be a while until I'm able to do the Eye of the Dark Widow quest. Two quests are completed, so it looks like I have nothing left aside from the Path of the Shaman and Restoration of Justice. According to the timer, the trial for becoming the Great Shaman was still 2 months away. Even that made me a bit sad. In Beatwick, I started to feel like a protagonist in global game events, but as soon as it was all over, I immediately turned back into a standard ordinary player, of which there's a multitude in Barleona. Once again, I became one of the many. Other than access to the palaces, there are no benefits, aside from the positive regard of the Emperor and the Dark Lord. With my level of reputation, I could only walk around the palace, watch it being restored and regain its former brilliance, and watch covetously as Anastaria and Hellfire receive unique and rewarding quests. There was little doubt that the entire Phoenix leadership had gained esteem with the Emperor. The Emperor took me to a small room lit by a couple of torches. Aside from a hint of daylight from a narrow window, the place was submerged in gloom. A small wooden table on curved legs was the only object that interrupted the surrounding emptiness. I would never have thought that such rooms could exist in the palace.
From what I've come to know of you, you have no special need of elaborate rewards.
The Emperor smiled and picked up a scroll from the table.
You are being given this item for completing the Night Terror of the Village assignment. I no longer hold the position of the headman, but I can't fail to reward the man who found my sklick. You did a good job.
With these words, Nati handed me the scroll. Reward for the Night Terror of the Village quest, +400 reputation with the Krong Province, +500 experience, +80 silver coins, Jewelcraft Recipe, Malachite Jewelry Box with Lapis Inlays.
I quickly learned the recipe, opened the recipe book, and looked at its description.
Malachite jewelry box with lapis inlays. Description: a neat and sturdy box for jewelry. Can carry 10 items. Crafting stat bonus: the box can carry an additional crafting number of items. Item class: rare. Minimum level: 50. Crafting requirements: minimum jewel craft level 40. Ingredients: 2 pieces of malachite, 2 pieces of lapis lazuli, 4 bronze wires. Instruments: jeweler's tools.
Well, that'll do, I guess. On the one hand, it's a new recipe. On the other, a bit of a disappointment. I was hoping for more. The expression on my face made the Emperor laugh.
You definitely need to work on controlling your emotions better. You look like someone just offered you something disagreeable. Bear in mind that the assignment to find the Sklik could have been removed altogether as soon as the battle started in Beatwick, but I decided to leave it in place. Now, let's move on to a reward that should be more to your liking. The search for the former me.
Reward for the search for the Dark Coordinator quest. Plus 4,000 reputation with the Malabar Empire. Plus 4,000 experience. Plus 10,000 gold coins. A scaling item from the Emperor's stores. The choice of the item is up to you.
I noticed that exactly 10,000 gold coins fell into my purse. It turned out that this amount was already free of the usual imperial tax. I quickly tried to calculate what it should have been in the first place, but couldn't come up with a round number, only fractions. Never mind.
There are 5 items on the table that would suit you, continued the Emperor. You can choose one of them. You wouldn't be able to buy these items from Thracinians even if your reputation with them was exalted. You will be able to see the properties of the items only after you make your choice. So choose carefully.
No looking at their properties? How the heck am I supposed to make a choice like this? 5 items were lying on the table in a neat row. A shaman's hat with horns, like the one Almas had. A feathered cloak, almost identical to the one I was wearing. Boots, pants, and bracers. Disbelieving the Emperor, I checked the properties of each item, but they really were hidden. How to make a choice? My spirits sunk even further. How long can I keep playing these guessing games? Bah! They can go to hell with their rewards.
I respectfully decline your gift, I said, firmly returning the Emperor's gaze. I refuse to make an uninformed decision. It's better to refuse everything than forever regret picking the worst out of the lot. I would like to thank the Emperor for this opportunity, but no, I will not choose.
Your choice has been made, the Emperor replied calmly, and immediately the table with all the items disappeared. The heralds will see you out.
My hoarding hamster lifted his head, looked me in the eye, and then let it drop again. He had no fight left in him.
Man, you're here!
As soon as we left the room, Tisha suddenly appeared next to us.
Father, have you thought of a reward for him?
He refused it, the Emperor replied just as calmly. Man thinks that the Emperor is unworthy of granting him a reward.
Man!
Tisha froze next to me, astonished.
Is this true?
I don't think I like the direction that this conversation is taking. The intellect imitator is doing a great job of making me look like an obnoxious and ungrateful bastard who rudely refused a gift. in your dreams, I happen to be capable of standing up for myself. I took out 5 cursed rings, and, after hiding their properties, handed them to Tisha. Choose one and put it on, without looking.
But they can't be read, said the girl in surprise.
Exactly. Just choose one and put it on. Tisha took one of the rings, which reduced strength by 5%, put it on her finger and exclaimed,
"It's a cursed ring, man! What is the meaning of this?"
As soon as the ring was put on, its properties became accessible to the wearer. Tisha angrily pulled off the ring and threw it towards me.
"Why did you do that? I trusted you! You—"
"Hold on, Tisha." The Emperor interrupted her and turned to address me. "Open the properties of the other rings and hand them over to me." There didn't seem anything wrong with Nati's request, so I picked up the ring Tisha threw down and dropped it together with the rest into the Emperor's hand. "Did you make them?" The Emperor took a careful look at each ring.
"Yes. I made them from the materials gathered in Beatwick, but after the inverters did their job, only items like these came out, no matter what I did."
"What do you plan to do with them?"
"I'll take them to Elizabeth. She can bless them. They're quite useless otherwise."
"Do you still have any of the amulets that you made in Beatwick?"
The former headman kept up his confounding line of questioning. Something began to stir in me that I thought was gone forever. Genuine interest. What can the Emperor want with my rings and amulet? Strange. "Yes, here it is." I took out the novice's amulet out of the bag and handed it to Nati. I thought that as soon as he took the amulet, he would immediately turn into a vagrant. But emperors were immune to such things, by the looks of it. Nati gave me back 4 rings, leaving only one for himself. He took it in one hand, and the amulet in the other, and then did something I thought completely impossible. He combined them together. A bright sun shone through his hands, and when the glow faded, both the ring and the amulet disappeared, as if they never existed. A pleased smile appeared on the Emperor's face.
"Dad?"
Tisha was looking wide-eyed at her father.
"You just..."
"Destroyed something that belonged to another?"
The Emperor raised an eyebrow.
"I know. Mayan's losses will be reimbursed. 100 gold for the ring, and 1,000 for the amulet."
As soon as he uttered those words, I received a message that 770 gold had fallen into my purse.
"But that's not the important part. Firstly, Mayan showed me that I was wrong to offer him a blind choice. And secondly, I have an assignment for him."
"A blind choice?" asked Tisha.
"Yes. I offered him a choice of 5 items with concealed properties. He refused to choose. Now I understand why. It seems that he hasn't forgotten who I was before becoming emperor, so his suspicions are not groundless."
I was lucky that the emperor was so clever. He came up with the reason, explained it, and, most importantly, believed in what he was saying. I was slowly coming back to normal, and was hit by the horrible realization how my refusal must have looked. Here was a prideful shaman turning his nose up at the gifts of the emperor. I was lucky not to get docked reputation points for this.
"You've shown me that I was wrong," continued the emperor. "So we should once again return to the reward. This time you will have no choice. I will decide what your reward should be. But this can wait. I can't stop thinking of the chess pieces standing in the main hall. They could have only been created by a cursed artificer. Did you hold such a title?
I nodded, not understanding where the Emperor was going with all of this. And why did he say did rather than do?
The amulet of the novice of Iluna could be made by any sentient that has a positive reputation with the priestesses. But you were a cursed artificer. Therefore, in order to create such a thing, you had to become a blessed artificer. Is that the case?
I nodded once again, beginning to lose track with all these artificers. There were altogether too many of them.
Dad, I really don't understand what this is all about, said Tisha, who was still standing next to us.
Truth be told, she was voicing my thoughts, too. I had no idea what it was that the Emperor wanted.
Come. The Emperor waved his hand, and a portal opened nearby. I must show you something.
You have gained access to the Emperor's throne room. Current level of palace access, 46%. Next interior, the Emperor's office.
I waved away the message, for which many players would have easily given 2 years of play, and stepped into the portal. What was it that Nati needed? The answer was very unusual. A dagger was stuck right in the center of the throne. I could tell that this was a cursed object without even looking at its properties. The waves of darkness emanating from the dagger were being contained by statuettes of Iluna placed around the throne.
A present for the future emperor from Guernica, explained Nati. No one can touch the dagger, neither the emperor nor the Dark Lord. It can only be destroyed by combining it with a holy object, as I have just done. But there are very few of these throughout the Empire, and all of these are located in temples. Neither the throne nor those objects can be moved, otherwise they will lose their properties. The new High Priestess has shielded the effect of the dagger on the palace, but I cannot take my throne. An emperor cannot exist for long without his throne. In 4 months' time, I will disappear.
No!
Came a cry from Tisha.
Calm down, my dear. Not all is lost. In a week, I will gather all the heroes of the Empire and ask for their help. According to these scrolls, some scrolls appeared in the Emperor's hands, a lost relic of light is located somewhere in the depths of the Free Lands. With its help, it will be possible to destroy this dagger. The heroes will have to meet very strict requirements, including a minimal level of 200. Their reputation with the Emperor will not be a factor. I am prepared to meet any exiles halfway and give them a second chance. Although, I'll weigh up all the pros and cons first.
So where do I fit into all of this? It looked like the scenario for the opening up of Kartus as a player faction was set to continue a week later and involve high-level players.
You are a blessed artificer. One can't depend entirely on the search for the relic being successful. For example, it may not be found within the given time. It is my duty as the Emperor to protect my empire from any risk, and you've given me a very interesting idea. Aside from the heroes of the Empire, I will give an assignment to each of the craftsmen. Instead of joining the search effort,
They will have to create a holy artifact capable of destroying the dagger. Perhaps someone will succeed. You will be given this assignment right now, even though you don't meet the necessary parameters. As Beatwick had shown, sometimes it's worth taking a risk and trusting a low-level free citizen.
Quest available. Creation of a holy artifact. Description: The Malabar Empire is facing a calamity. A cursed dagger has been plunged deep into the heart of the throne. If it is not destroyed within 4 months, the emperor will perish. Create a holy item that could destroy the dagger. Reward, +500 reputation with the emperor, +15 levels, +50,000 gold coins, a scaling item from the emperor's stores. Penalty for failing the quest, none. Quest type, scenario. Requirements, at least 100 levels in the main profession. The quest cannot be completed if the level of the main profession is less than 100. Level restrictions, none. Time limit for completing the quest, 127 days from the moment it has been given out.
I will do everything in my power to destroy the dagger, were the only words I could force out of myself after reading through the quest description.
Plus 15 levels.
For this, Anastaria and Hellfire would drop everything and start crafting like mad. It's hard to get your character to level 100, but it is possible. Reaching level 200 would require a special effort. After level 300, however, each level gained is a real cause for celebration. And with this, you would get plus 15 all in one go.
I had no doubt that you would take up the challenge, said the Emperor solemnly. Now, let us once again return to the question of your reward. I think this would suit you better than the rest.
With these words, Naughty handed me the boots.
Wear them with pride.
I bowed as I accepted the Emperor's gift and finally had a look at the properties of my reward. What kind of an item was it impossible to get from the Thracinians?
Item acquired. Shaman's Boots of Brisk Running. Durability, unbreakable. Description: Shamans spend most of their lives on the road. Comfortable shoes are a guarantee of a happy and living shaman. Plus 40 to maximum level of energy. Spirit summoning time is reduced by 50%, plus player level 10, intellect, plus player level 5, stamina, plus player level 3, agility, plus player level 7, defense from all damage types. Item class, scaling, integrated. Level restrictions, none.
Finally, the hamster shook off his apathy. He was jumping happily around the boots, blowing specks of dust off them and looking at the emperor with love-filled eyes, solemnly promising to craft the holy artifact the very next day. Anything to get another bonus like this.
And one last thing. You may try to create the relic in Anhurs with the aid of the High Priestess, but I advise you to travel to the Freelands. There are many untapped resources there, some of which are probably of the hallowed kind. The choice remains up to you. I can only advise. And now, please excuse me. I have to leave you.
The Emperor gave me a brief nod, opened a portal, and a moment later I was alone with Tisha. I quickly put on the boots, in case anyone changed their mind, and sadly noted that the bonus from Rick's set disappeared. I had to choose, either to put on this new wonder or keep the bonuses from all the 8 items in the set. The boots were a clear winner. Rick's gear would have to be changed soon in any case. I've outgrown it.
Where are you off to now?
It looked like Tisha would be sticking with the stunned princess role for some time. The change of emperor took place almost painlessly, and the developers had already come up with a mass quest for the players. But Tisha was still walking around in a state of shock. Could there be a quest tied to all this? I'm going to pay Beth a visit now. She asked me to drop by as soon as I came to Annhurst. Then I will go to the registrar and finally register my clan. And then we'll see.
Princess, can I be of any help to you?
Princess? That sounds so strange. Well, no, I...
Judging by the fact that Tisha was struggling to make up her mind about something, I must have been on the threshold of being given a new quest. I looked at my attractiveness to her. 39 points. Strange. With the ordinary girl Tisha in Beadwick, it was as high as 83, or thereabouts. But here, with her a princess, it was just 39.
Of course. These were two different imitators, despite there being only one NPC. They reduced it by too much.
It looks like I'll need at least 40 points to be given the quest.
Damn. I have no way of increasing my score, either. I remembered the dress that I gave to Reptilus, and my inner greed toad came out of hibernation. Not only did that lizard fail to pay me the rest of what he owed me, although maybe he did do it, I've not been to the bank yet, I handed him an item that would have been really useful right now. All I would have had to do was make a gift of it to Tisha, and the princess would have been putty in my hands. Any quest, any help, within reason, of course. I was so stupid.
Tisha, I said, risking calling the girl by her name. In Beatwick, there was no problem with calling NPCs by their first names, but this was the palace, and she was now the princess, so it could land me in real trouble.
How about this? Right now I'll go and settle my affairs, then come back to the palace in the evening and we'll have a chat. I have access, even to the throne room, so we can meet on this very spot. We can have a proper talk then.
All right, smiled the girl, as if a great weight had been lifted from her shoulders. Until evening, then.
I barely had time to notice that I was alone.
Tisha was gone in a flash.
Great. So how will I make my way out of here? It's not like I know the plan of the palace.
The Emperor asked me to accompany you.
Like a genie from a bottle, a herald popped up next to me.
Where would you like to go?
I need to get to the High Priestess Eveluna, I said, quickly recomposing myself.
Please transport me there, or, if you can't take me there directly, to the place where I can ask for an audience with her.
Please come this way. The herald opened a portal, saying, The High Priestess is ready to receive you.
Beth's office had quite a Spartan look. There was a simple table, snowed under with various papers, a wooden chair, and pale modest curtains that completely covered the walls. If this were reality, the curtains would have been sure to conceal a number of guards, ready to strike down anyone that threatened their mistress. In Barleona, however, I was quite sure that the curtains concealed shelves full of books and scrolls not meant for the eyes of ordinary mortals. Although ordinary mortals wouldn't have dreamt of being admitted to the office of the High Priestess, so the matter with the scrolls was worth further thought.
"Man!" Beth was clearly happy to see me. "It's so good that you managed to get here quickly.
I have started to sort out the mess left behind by the previous High Priestess, which is mind-bogglingly terrible. There was no semblance of a system or proper record-keeping. I already demoted her to the rank of a novice. It's better for her to bring light and warmth to ordinary people than to do paperwork. That was never her strength.